evening. Right, I feel as though coming to the evening is still quite foreign to me, actually, and having us all sit here and it's dark outside is definitely a strange experience. But welcome to BCEC, especially if it's your first time. I'm kicking us off on a new series today, and it's called Blank Space. And the idea behind this is we started our theme for the year in September, and it was based on welcoming other people around us. Why? Because Jesus welcomed us. And as we seek to do that, what we realized was as we seek to welcome different people into our church, everyone has different struggles, everyone has different experiences, they're at different stages in their lives. So we thought, why not let's use this month to really address some of those differences that we might have, because if we address them, if we raise awareness within ourselves, and maybe it will help us to welcome other people as well. So some of those are, as you might have seen from the announcement slide, we'll be addressing what the different stresses that people go through are, or the different things that people end up being jealous about or envy over, or the things that that they regret that really hinder their own lives with God. And today I'm going to be starting the series called Choosing the Right Blank. Essentially, it's about making decisions. It's about your decision-making process as believers. So if I'll just say a word of prayer, and then we'll kick off and we'll start this series. God, I thank you for the people who are here, the brothers and sisters, and the new people here. Lord, we thank you that everyone has been able to come and just be a part of this family today. Lord, as we share one faith and one love, Lord, we thank you that it is your blessing and what you did for us that allows us to gather here this evening. So we pray, Lord, that your spirit will really move through my lips and also into all of our hearts here as we yearn for you to speak to us, God. We thank you and we lift this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, decisions. Researchers from Cornell University say, or at least they believe, that every adult makes about 35,000 decisions a day. So you make a decision to wake up, to roll out of bed, then you make a decision to brush your teeth, or I know some people who don't brush their teeth, which I think is pretty disgusting. And then you make a decision to do many, many things. And you guys made the potentially wise decision in sleeping in this Sunday morning, and because you now have an evening service to come to, which I think is a very good decision to make. And children, they're demanded to make about 3,000 decisions. So you see, as you start from childhood and you enter into teenage and then adolescence and adulthood, you start having to make more and more decisions. And hopefully it means we get better and better at them. We have to make decisions about our food, about what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, about clothes, about work, who we talk to, how we travel to work, how we travel to church, who we sit next to here. These are decisions that we all have to make. And we start this decision-making process from when we're very young. My daughter is 1 year old right now, and she's choosing to disobey us, frankly, because when we tell her to do something, she just shakes her head and goes, nope. And then, nope. Nope. Until you say, well, basically, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this, until you say, iPad? Yeah. And then the iPad, so she chooses that, or when we give her snacks, in the past we'd give her a snack and she'd just choose to eat it. But now she's like, nope, because she knows there are different options in the bag. So after she rejects the first one, another one appears. And she rejects that one, another one, and so forth. So we have to stop her and say, no, you only get to choose two. And it's Reuben, my older son's birthday on Tuesday, and we let him choose his five best friends to go to a soft play together. Which, as a five-year-old turning six-year-old, that's amazing, right? So 2 weeks ago, we asked him, can you choose? And we'll send out the invites next week. And we did. And then 2 days ago, we checked with him again. Hey, Reuben, who would you like to invite? And then suddenly, he changed all five people. And we're like, wow, that is so fickle. That's totally what kids do, right? So his decision-making process constantly changes depending how he feels. And as he grows up, as my children grow up, and as you guys grew up, you start choosing Key Stage 4 subjects. You start choosing A-levels. Then you start choosing university course. And then you start choosing where to go for university. And then girlfriend, boyfriend. And then city to work in. And then whether to marry that person. And then to buy a house, maybe. To choose a house. To choose a car. These decisions never stop, and they just keep getting more and more. But as believers, there is a new dimension that starts to develop as we grow in our walk with God. We start thinking, God, what do you want me to do? Throughout our time here at church, we often hear that Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, your will be done. And Jesus in the garden himself says, your will be done. So we start thinking, we start going on this journey. God, what is your will for me? And this isn't necessarily down to some of the really serious decisions in life. This is down to sometimes we ask more of the smaller questions that I'll talk about later as well. But the problem is we don't get to hear from God explicitly. We don't get the Morgan Freeman voice to tell us, you should do this. You should speak to this person. You see that lady there? That will be your wife. How great would it be if that was the case? But we don't. We don't get those explicit instructions. So how do we go about finding out God's will? How do we go about finding out what he really wants for us? First of all, we have to acknowledge that there are different aspects or facets of God's will. There is his sovereign will, which is essentially secret and hidden because it's the bigger picture. We don't get to see that. We don't get to see it unfold. We get to see it unfold only after it's happened. And that is God's will. That is him pulling the strings behind the scenes. Yet there is a revealed will that we know that is his will. It is his will that we all repent and know and love Jesus. It is his will that we become good, holy people that love those around us. It is his will that we do not lie, cheat, and deceive, but we love and we sacrifice ourselves for others. We know that these are his will. Why? Because of the word. Because he has left us his word, the Bible. He has told us what he desires of us. So if you're sometimes wondering about what God wants in certain things, sometimes it's as simple as simply going to the word. If you're wondering, should I lie about my income so I can pay less tax? Then that is a question you don't need to ask God about, because God has already told you to tell the truth in his word. He has already told you. So there are some things that you don't need to ask. If you need to ask, oh, should this person who I know who's really in need, who could do with some help, should I help them, God? Should I? The answer is yes, because God says, love your neighbor as yourself. So we don't need to seek for God's voice to point and say, yes, you should help that person. There are some things that are already revealed. He's also given us something else, our minds, our brains, our common sense. So we get to think for ourselves. So if you came out of the house today, you didn't ask God, God, should I wear clothes today? As I go out, as I leave, should I put some clothes on? No, you don't ask that question because he's given you common sense that it is autumn now. It is getting pretty cold. Not to say that summer you don't wear clothes, but you have to wear some clothes. And if you ask, oh, what should I eat today? Of course you know the answer to that is food. And then it's up to you to decide what kind of food. So the common sense and the brains are there for us to use. So we've got those out of the way, and there's lots of decisions that we can simply use our brains and our common sense and also rely on the Bible and its principles to help us. But we're not here to talk about those things, because those things are relatively straightforward. We're here about those other decisions where it's not as clear-cut. Should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I go out with this person or that person? Should I do this course or that course? These questions, they don't seem to have a right answer. The Bible doesn't say whether you should choose economics or management in your university degree. It doesn't say these specific things. So today we're talking about those kind of decisions that aren't quite as clear-cut. And when I look at the stories in the Bible of people making decisions, sometimes I get very envious. When God takes them somewhere and leads them, they get very obvious signs. Moses was walking around and he heard a weird sound and he saw a bush that was burning with fire. And then suddenly he hears God's voice talking to him, telling him what to do. I personally would love to have that kind of instruction in my life. You see, the Israelites, as they leave Egypt and they're just wandering the deserts looking for the promised land, you see the stories of them watching and following the pillar of fire or the cloud as they walk. You see the wise men who hear about this new savior that is born, but they're not lost in trying to find him. They see there's a star in the sky, and then they follow. They have these instructions. They have these signs. How great would it be if we got to see a star or a burning bush or a pillar of fire telling us exactly where to go? Yet we don't get this chance. We don't get these things. There's another example in the Bible of people casting lots, essentially rolling the dice to make decisions to see what God's will is. Sometimes I feel as though some of the decisions that I make, I feel as though I have to leave it to just flipping a coin. But yet we don't need to use those things. Why? Why as now believers in this day and age do we not need to use those things? It's because now we have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples it's better for them that he leaves because then the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will be the guide, will be the one that counsels them. And sometimes it is hard to hear the Spirit speak. For whatever reason it might be, it's very hard to hear. And even sometimes when we hear, we doubt. We wonder whether it really is the Spirit that's speaking. So as we ask these questions of, what do I do? For me, there were a couple more questions that I started to ask myself as I make decisions that I decided to share with you today. So I've got five questions that I wanted to share with you that help me in my decision-making process. So I'm going to show you them right now. The first one is this. Before you ask, God, what should I do? The first question you should really ask is, how close am I walking with God right now? I know in my life, as I've searched for answers, or I've asked for God to show me his will, I've actually been convicted of, actually, James, you don't need to know my will yet. You just need to know me. If you commit to knowing me, you will know what my will is. So our first point is, as we go into a season of pursuing God's will, we first have to put right at the top of the list, pursuing him, being right with God. Because if we are right with him, if we know him, if we love him, then his heart will start to be shared by us, and we'll start to get a better idea of what he wants. There's an old song that I used to love growing up as a kid singing in church called Seek Ye First. It's based on this verse in Matthew chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek him first. And Jesus was talking about this. These are Jesus' words. And just before verse 33, he talks about, why are you worrying? Why are you worrying about whether you'll get to eat or what food you'll eat? Why are you worrying about whether you'll get clothes or not? Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, because God cares for you and looks after you. Your only duty is to seek him first, to pursue him, to ask yourself that question, am I seeking him first? Am I putting him right at the top? And sometimes as we ask ourselves that question, it also is reflective of our own state. When we're asking God, should I do this or that? It actually does represent and reflect our own spiritual state and our own relationship with him. For example, if you are engrossed day and night about whether you should use all your month's income in buying a Gucci bag or a Louis Vuitton bag, and it's out of your means, but all you're obsessed with is trying to decide which bag to buy, then I have an answer for you. If you ask God that question, should I buy Gucci or should I buy LV, he may not answer you. Okay? But what that does show is maybe your heart isn't in the right place. That actually, if we are engrossed and obsessed with things like that, then maybe our heart, we're not walking that closely with God. Now, I'm not saying that Gucci and LV are bad. Okay, there are many things in this world. But what I'm saying is, how do those things compare to God? Where do they fit in your priority list? Are they right at the top? Or is God still at the top? Because if God is still at the top, he will dictate what kind of questions and what kind of decisions that we're wanting to ask. So how close are you to God? That is the first question to ask when you are trying to make a decision about your life. Stick close to God, and the rest will be added unto you. Philippians has this verse. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious about anything. This echoes Jesus' words. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, small or big, seemingly insignificant or really important, acknowledge God by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. This basically means be in constant conversation with God. Talk to him. Make your requests known to him. But also be grateful for everything that he's given you. And this relationship will then drive you to the place where you are able to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So many times, even for us keen and eager ones, we try to make decisions based on our own wisdom, our own experiences. And it's only afterwards we find out that we were completely wrong. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And that's what we should be seeking. So in everything and in anything, we should be walking with God. So before I ask, what is the right path? Which way do you want me to go, God? Maybe the more important question is, am I walking with you, God? if I go down this path, are you there with me? That is question number one. The second question I ask myself is this. Has God already spoken about this? I just said that he has already spoken to us through his word. His word, the Bible, we sit here today and we profess to believe that the Bible is God-breathed. It is everything. It is living and is capable of anything in giving us any kind of advice and speaking into our lives. If God didn't speak to us again, if he didn't give us any new fresh word, it would still be enough because his word is that powerful. His word contains everything we need. So have you consulted his word? Do you know his word in your heart, in your mind? Do you meditate on it day and night as the psalmist does? Because if you do, you will have a better chance of making a decision that is aligned with his will. Psalm 119 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's his word that will light our path and show us the direction we go in. Often we live in just such a dark time now, and we're just asking God, where do you want us to go? And imagine this torch that just shines straight down a path to show us where we should be going. His word is that torch. His word is that lamp to our feet to show us where to go. Engross yourself in the word. And you know you're safe with the word because there is no new word from God that will conflict his word that is written in Scripture. Everything that you need is in the Bible. And you can check sometimes if you're wondering whether this is God or not and you're hearing something but you're not very sure if it is God, then first check is, does it conflict with the Scripture? Does it conflict with his word that is already here? If it does, if it conflicts, then you know it's not him. The word and any new word from now will always match. Sometimes we know what the word is, but we're just too lazy to apply it. We have the knowledge, we have the head knowledge, but we don't have the wisdom to know where to apply it. Sometimes we're just too lazy to even look into the word. And we complain about not knowing God enough, not knowing who he is enough, not knowing his will for our lives, and yet we don't spend any time with him in his word. Then there's a problem there. So commit to knowing his word and ask, has God already spoken about this that will actually help me? The third question I ask is this. What do the people whom I love and trust say about the situation or the decision that you have to make? Who are the people around you? The scripture tells us to seek wise counsel, people who can give us good advice. Why can they give us good advice? We hope these are the people who, one, know us very well, two, love us and care for us a lot, and three, and probably the most important one, you also know that they love God. If you want to seek wise counsel, if you want good advice, you need to find these people in your life. Proverbs says this, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Sorry about the spelling mistake. When there is an abundance of counselors, there is safety. I surround myself strategically with close friends of mine that I know are smarter than I am, are wiser than I am, and love God even more than I do. I do that because I know there comes times where I need to make decisions where I need to ask them what they think. I need to ask them what they think based on their love of God, their knowledge of me, and their love of me. And then I can trust what their advice is. So my question to you is, if you have a decision to make and you need advice, who do you go to? Who is your wise counsel? Because the other thing is, you need to think about the people that you're asking for advice. Are they the same as you? Because it's very important that you don't surround yourself in an echo cave where whatever you say is just echoed back to you because you're the same. It's very important to find people who have very different perspectives, who have very different experiences. Seek that wise counsel. And if you're thinking, yeah, actually, the people that I ask for advice, yeah, they're probably either too similar to me or maybe they don't have, they don't love God as much as I'd want them to. Then my encouragement to you is don't dump them. But go and find more people. Be proactive in finding the people who you know can give you good advice. And sometimes it's down to our own laziness as well. We know who the good people are to go and seek counsel from. We know who they are. Yet somehow laziness overtakes us. We're like, oh, I don't want to trouble them with my problem. It's such a small problem. I can't be bothered to ask them. But be proactive, ask them, because if they're really that good and you really want their advice, then just go for it and ask them. And if they're really that good, they will be much more than willing to help. to seek advice, and at the very least to pray with you about this. So seek wise counsel. Who are the people around you that know you the best? And I've been making decisions myself, and I've been making decisions myself, and actually when I've been asking people what do they think, I'm going, actually, you know who I am, you know what my strengths are, you know, we might give start, and you definitely know what my weaknesses are. Do you think this is right for me? Is this compatible with the way I'm wired? Is this compatible with how God has created me? Because sometimes as I make decisions, I get caught up in just emotions. Let's say, for example, shopping. Okay, I'm guessing this might be quite similar to some other guys. So when I go to shopping, okay, so I don't go to somewhere like TK Maxx because it's just too confusing for me. There's just too many things, there's too many choices, and it takes too long. Okay, so when I go into a shop, I'm like a homing missile. I know exactly what I want, and I head straight to that aisle, and I go and find it, and I pick it out, and I get it, and I'm back out in 5 minutes. Whereas important females in my life, they prefer a different style of shopping. What is that style? They start at the top, and then they go down aisle and snake right around and go around and around, and 2 hours later, they're about halfway through TK Maxx, and then they finish off. What was I talking about? Why did I just say that example? Oh, impulsiveness. Yeah, because I'm impulsive. Okay, so I go in and I just buy it. I don't think about it. I know what I want. I'm just going to buy it. But sometimes that gets me in trouble. Sometimes I end up buying things that I regret, and admittedly, that does happen. Okay, but you need to surround yourself with people who are different to you. So I surround myself with people who consider a lot when they buy things. So therefore, when I buy it, I ask them, or I go to them and go, "Hey, I trust that you had a very long decision process as you went to select for a new projector. Can you just tell me which one you ended up with, and then I'll just go and get that one." So I find people who I know are different. Who are the people who will offer you a different perspective? So my next question, my fourth one out of the five, are the doors clearly open? And what if they close? This, first and foremost, is about signs, I guess. When you're making decisions, you start thinking about, does this circumstance lead me to this way? Are there signs that are showing that maybe God is trying to take me this way? Or is it this way? And actually, whilst I am aware of these signs that God is taking me a certain way, am I also prepared that this might be my own emotions, my own thought process, just heightened awareness, thinking? And actually, if this was to close, if these signs were to mean nothing, would I be okay with it to shut? This is about surrender as well, where even though we might think we know what's best and we see the signs and it might look right, the thing that makes sense, are we prepared for God to show us any way that he takes us? The example I gave this morning is, you know, for those of you who have bought a car, you'll know this. If you're considering a car, and as someone like me, I don't really consider, I see one and I buy one. The cars I bought, I buy on the day that I see on Autotrader. And I make sure, it's the sign that it's the right car when I call them and I ask them, is it available today? And they say, yes, then I'll take it. That's me. But sometimes when you look for cars, have you noticed that when you buy a car, you start noticing your car more on the streets because your awareness is heightened of that particular thing. And then you start thinking, oh, I was thinking about buying a Polo, and now I've seen 7 Polos on the street today, so surely that is a sign. We have that heightened awareness. So when we're looking for God's will and we're looking for him to show us signs, it's important that we don't let our emotions override that, that we're also prepared to just surrender. And when God does take us another way, are we willing to go? We have to ask ourselves the questions, is the timing of this right? Are the circumstances right? We have to search our own hearts. What is my motivation behind this decision? Am I rushing it because of time? Am I rushing it because I want to get away from something else, or I want to choose something else, or I like something else too much? Are we open to God leading us in whichever direction that we choose? And if the door is closed, are we still trying to insist on it? If there's someone, a particular person that we really like and are trying to court and you know, take on a date, and yet it's just not the right one, but we just like, no, I think this is the one. I want to keep knocking on this door. Are we willing to let go and surrender and actually let God be the one that takes control of our lives? And of course, sometimes when the doors do open, then doors that maybe don't open normally, then you know that God is doing something as well. And the final question that I ask is this: will this draw me and others closer to God, or will this distract me and others away from God? We need to have the foresight to see some of the consequences of our decisions. I was speaking to a young man recently about choosing jobs, and he had two job offers. He said, this one will allow me, it'll be slightly less money, but it will allow me to have more freedom and more time to do some of the things that I love, such as serving in the church, playing sports. But this one will get me more money and probably help me up the career ladder faster, but it will demand a lot of my time and efforts, and I probably will end up not being able to come to church on Sundays and not have time. So he had the foresight to look further into what this decision would have an impact on his life would be. And then he made the choice based on what his desire was. And of course, for him, it was actually church and life and just the life groups that he had was more important to him. So he saw that that job would take him to a place that he did not want to go. What about when we're pursuing a boyfriend or a girlfriend? And you have to ask yourself, if I go for this person, then where does it lead me? What is in this person's life? Will it distract me from God, or will it draw me closer to God? These are questions that we have to seriously ask ourselves. Proverbs 27 says this: the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. What are your weaknesses? This comes down to you knowing yourself and what some of your own dangers are. What are the things that you are maybe prone to? Maybe you're prone to being very ambitious with your work or being engrossed with making money. So then if you chose this job, it would suck you into a culture, into a lifestyle that is what you don't want. So therefore, making that decision is the wrong one. But it could be different things for different people. But if you can make the decisions before you even get to that danger point, then you'll be prudent, then you'll be wise. Another thing is, when we make the decisions, it isn't just us that bears the consequences of our decision. And whilst we're looking for dangers for ourselves to make sure that we don't fall into some of our own traps, we also have to be aware to love our brothers and sisters around us. What are the decisions that we're making, and how will they affect the people around us? If I chose to go this direction, how will that affect someone who actually looks up to me, who I disciple? How does that affect them as they go on their life? If I decide to buy a certain item and flaunt it, actually, if someone is young and vulnerable and just wanting to impressionable, they see that. What will that do to them? If I'm dating someone and I decide I'm just going to go on holiday with them and I'm going to share a room with them because it's cheaper and I'll be okay, what does that do for someone who's younger, who's looking up to them, to you, who maybe isn't as strong or as resilient as you? How does it affect others by some of the decisions that you're making yourselves? And we're called to love those around us and not to become stumbling blocks. The church in Corinth were arguing about food, about what kind of food is good to eat and what food is not good to eat, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And they were arguing because some were traditional and said, no, you are not allowed to eat this food. This is unclean. And whereas others say, we are now free in Christ and we can eat whatever we want to. And then Paul comes in and writes this letter to the church in Corinth and says, you do all have a choice now because we are all free in Christ, and to the pure, all things are pure. And so you are free to choose to eat whatever you want to. But take care that this right that you have of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Yes, you might be allowed to do this now. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial to both you and the people around you. So as you make decisions, ask yourself, will this distract me from God, and will this distract others from God? And hopefully that decision will help you decide what to choose. And one final thing I wanted to finish on about this is, I've been talking about big decisions, about life partner, about job, about city to live in, these seemingly bigger things. But what we must not forget is also the small decisions that we make. Because those small decisions add up to us making the bigger decisions or having the bigger effect. And I used Josh as an example this morning, and he's still here, so I'm going to use him again. Josh, I know, he is a very diligent and keen exercise freak, I guess, is what you'd call it, as you can see from the tight top that he's wearing. And actually, I admire him very much because, well, it's something that I can't do personally. But he did not make a decision to become as fit as he is in one day. It was not one big decision where on one day he decided, I'm going to be really fit, and that's it. No. And Josh will tell you this. His decision to become such a prime specimen is through daily small decisions. On that cold, dark winter morning when all we want to do is curl up in our duvet, he drags himself out of bed and pays to go to a place to lift really heavy weights and work really hard on himself. I know it sounds ridiculous, because it is, okay? But that's a decision that he makes. And I admire that, because he understands to get there, you need discipline. To get there, you need to make the small decisions, even when other people aren't looking. What are the small decisions that you're making that actually impact your big decision? And we speak to a lot of young people who tell us, who obviously are very interested in finding a future life partner for themselves. And they go, oh, just want to find someone who is a Christian. And then, you know, on a completely separate note, on maybe a late Saturday night, they'll also choose to go to parties that maybe are not too appropriate. Maybe they'll decide to smoke, drink, or take drugs. And then they meet a certain group of friends, and then suddenly it prevents them from going to church on a Sunday morning. And from there, they start to be isolated from the church, and then they start to lose friends who love God. And then before you know it, 5 years later, they're like, I can't find any Christian guys or girls. And in some ways, it all roots back to that small decision at the beginning where you're choosing your friends and your lifestyle. Those small decisions will affect some of the big decisions that we make. So we have to be aware that to not just be ready when it's the big decision. That's when I choose God. No, we choose God in all of the small chances that we get. Imagine a ship that sets its coordinates or sets its bearing ready to head in a direction, me towards the clock. And yet if I make one small decision and face a slightly different direction, and I make that same wrong decision every day, albeit as insignificant and small as it may seem, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, I'll be very far from where I originally wanted to be. Those small decisions have a very big effect. So if you are someone who is currently deciding some of the big decisions in your life, I ask you to ask yourselves those five questions. How close am I walking with God right now? That is the key. How close are you to him? How right are you with him? Because if you are right, if you get this question sorted, as Matthew 6:33 says, if you seek him first, everything else will be okay. Commit to walking to God closely first. Has God already spoken about this? Have you spent time in his word? Do you know his heart? Do you know his story? History. What do the people whom I love and trust say? Who are the people around you? Who are the wise counsel? Are they truly, truly wise? And do they truly love you to give you good advice? Are the doors clearly open? And what if they close? Have you removed your emotions out of this? Are you ready to surrender whichever door he opens and whichever door he closes? And finally, will this draw me and others closer to God? Do we have the foresight to see further, to see where we go and what the decisions that we make, how will they affect us in the long term? These are five key questions. And there is really no answer to this, because everyone has different decisions to make. I can't tell you that you should choose option A, because I don't know what your option A or B is. So there is no answer in this sermon. But one thing I will say is, if you are ever in doubt, then choose God. If there is a decision that basically forces you to choose whether you should be with God and or not, or if something even stops you from loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if there is some circumstance in the job, or if there is a factor in your relationship that stops you from loving God wholly, then choose God. Choose God. Why? Because God loves you and cares for you and died for you. Because God the Father loved you enough to send his own Son to die for you. Because Jesus, the Son of God, loved you enough to choose to leave his throne from heaven, to come down to earth, to bear the consequences of your mistake, so that you no longer need to fall short of God's glory, but you are now justified freely because Jesus chose you. So if you have a choice to make, then choose God. That is the final piece of advice that I'd like to give you. And one last example that I have is a decision that I made recently with my wife, Christina. And some of you may have seen this on Facebook. Some of you don't know me, and I guess this will just be news to you. But Christina and I, we have been wrestling with a decision that we've had to make in the last few months. And that decision was, ultimately, has now concluded with us deciding by the end of the year to move to Hong Kong. And we're going to be leaving the church here that we love and that we've grown up in. And I said this morning this, and I realized this morning, which is what really snuck up on me, is that I've actually been at this church for half my life. So I was here when I was 16 and I'm now 32. And we made the very tough decision to follow God and where he leads in taking us to Hong Kong. And it's a long process that I won't bore you with here, but feel free to come and ask me more about it. But the idea for us is, when this first came up, it launched us into this terrible, horrible wrestling period with God. Because Christina, for sure, does not like Hong Kong. She hates crowded places. She hates the humidity. And for her, it was just too much to bear. But if you talk to her now, she will start crying. Why? Because she knows it's God. Because she knows that this is what God wants her to do. And because of that, she says this herself, and she'll cry, and she'll say, I feel like such a sport brat, and I'm kicking and screaming, but I know that this is God. And because of that, we have to go. And these are the questions that we went down, which is why I can share these with you confidently, because they're the ones that I asked and we asked ourselves. When we started this decision-making process, God, are you really sending us to Hong Kong? We love everything we have here. We love this church. We love some of the ministries that we're serving outside of this church on the national scene. We love the friends here. We love the people that we've loved here so much, and we don't want to leave this place. God, is this really your will? But we asked, but in some ways, what launched us into a separate question was, actually, how close are we to God right now? Actually, in this season of seeking and pursuit, let us choose God first, and the rest will be added unto us. And then we looked into Scripture for examples, or see if God has said anything about this. And if you're ever wondering whether God wants to take you out of your comfort zone and tell you to go, do not look into Scripture, because it's a very dangerous place. Because if you disobey God, you'll get eaten up by a big fish. Okay, and I don't want to be eaten up by a big fish. Or when you read the story of Moses, and Moses is told by God, go back to your people. Like that wasn't helpful. What I was praying for is that it will be the story of Abraham, where God tells us you have to sacrifice Isaac and you have to give him up as worship. And I was like, yes, this story is good because I know where it goes. As long as we're prepared to give it up, then we won't have to at the end. And so we're like, God, let me be Abraham. And then it comes down to, like, just when I was like, it's going to happen, God. You need to pull out your angel sheep in the bush thing. We're ready to be stopped. And God says, no, you need to go. So, but still, we looked in Scripture. And we consulted people that loved and cared for us, who have been on this journey with us. And actually, I can say that for people like Bert as well, we couldn't have done this without him. And him just being just gracious and allowing us to wrestle with this. And actually, the sadness that has filled our heart has been so great sometimes that we've found it hard to even talk about this situation. But yet we have had people around us who have been able to give us wise counsel that isn't biased, that is something that we trust. And are the doors clearly open? I can tell you lots of stories of how us stepping out of this comfort zone has allowed us to see God in a very different way that maybe we wouldn't have seen if we stayed in our own comfort zones. And God has been good, and I can stand here and say, I hate this move, but I know this is God. And because of that, I will keep marching forward, because God has opened the doors. And will this draw me and others closer to God? And this is the final story I'll share, because this is one of the big decisions that Christina and I made as we went into full-time ministry, actually. So rewind, I was teaching at school, and Christina was at hospital teaching, working. And when we were wrestling with this idea of, does God want us to lead us into full-time ministry, the question that kept coming up was, what about our kids? We've got great jobs. Our kids will be looked after with these jobs. And then God just kept asking us, do you not trust me to look after them? What do you want to teach your kids? Will this draw me and others closer to God? For us, it ended up being, actually, we want to show our kids that God is worth everything. We want to show our kids to not be paralyzed by fear and comfort. We want, that is the lesson that we want to show them. So we left our jobs to jump into full-time ministry. And now, just a few years later, we've been asked the same question. Do you trust me with your kids? And we want to show our kids through this decision that whilst we hope that he blesses you with lots of things, we also have to be ready whenever he calls us to let go of everything that we have. And that is the decision that we wanted to make for our kids, to show them that we are not obsessed or engrossed with what this world is chasing. But we want them to know and learn from us, because they're our responsibility, that God is worth it, that we have to choose God because he is faithful and he will lead us. So what are the decisions that you guys have to make? What are the things that are going on in your lives that you're just deliberating on? Which one's God, which one's not? I encourage you now just to spend some time to really ask yourselves these questions, starting with, are you right with God? Are you close to God? Let me invite the worship team back up now as we just spend just a few moments just to meditate on this. Shall we just, our leaders in a word of prayer, and we'll have just a few moments to really seek God in this. And as we respond to him, I really pray that the Spirit will guide you in the decision-making process that you have in front of you. Let's pray. Father, you are creator of heaven and earth. You are far higher than us in every regard. Your thoughts and your ways are just so much higher than ours. And we come to you this evening and we declare, Lord, that you are our God and there is none like you. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be also sovereign king over our decisions, whether small or big. And so we come before you now with some of the decisions that we have to make as individuals, as brothers and sisters here. We pray, Lord, that you will have your Spirit guide us. Because the truth is, Lord, we want to make decisions that you are pleased with. We want your will to be done. And Lord, we need you in every minute and every hour of our lives. Not just the big crossroads that we reach every now and again, but every single day. So can you be king over all our lives? And as we make decisions, Lord, we pray that you'll give us the strength to choose you every time. So as we go into a time of responding through song, I just encourage you now just to have a few minutes to converse with God, to talk to him, to engage in conversation with him, and just have this time to be still.